right, welcome into Mining Stock Daily, everybody, on this Tuesday. And we're going to start with somewhat of a corporate update and also an introduction in many regards. We're happy to welcome in David Kelly. He's the CEO of Chicana Copper. Chicana Copper does trade on the TSX Venture with PERU and on the OTCQB with CHKKF. The company continues to advance the Soledad project down in Peru, but it's kind of been a long grind with Soledad. And so we're going to an update and maybe a little bit of background story with David here, who's been with the company and the project for quite a while. So, David, pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Trevor. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I might also add, we just found out. We're just like a mile apart, so we could have done this in person.
We could have.
But the reason Chicana is really interesting to me, obviously, is because not only is David local here in the Denver metro, but a lot of his board is also Denver-based. A lot of people I do respect. John Black, obviously, is a frequent guest here on the podcast, and my friend Doug Silver, previously of Orion Mine Finance, is also chairman and director. So, and we'll put Tom Wharton on that as well. He's not in Colorado, but he is a Nebraskan, and so I got a little respect for Nebraskans, as I'm also from Nebraska. But so this company, this project hits home. So David, you know, kind of give us that. I don't know. It's been kind of a wild couple of years for Chicana. I mean, how do you kind of sum this up and where you're at now?
Yeah, it has been. You know, we've been at this for 7 years. And if we had stayed on track, you know, if COVID hadn't happened, if the Pedro Castillo, you know, presidency hadn't happened, and this very long delay in getting this permit that's allowing us now to go on to the south half of the mineral system and finally start testing some of these incredible targets we have, we would have been, you know, we would have been at this point at year four. And when I look at other very successful junior companies that have come out of the gate, made a discovery, advanced it quickly, raised money, all accretive financings, you know, I think the best you can do in this industry is about 4 years. So we are, you know, delayed in this, but, you know, COVID was unavoidable. It was a devastating event for, you know, globally, but it was particularly bad in a lot of Latin American countries, and Peru was one of the worst. They did recover from that. And, you know, and then we had the unfortunate event of Pedro Castillo getting voted in as president, which was a massive failure, and he was impeached and he's now in jail. And then, you know, we suffered from this very, very long delay in getting a permit. It was over 2.5 years, you know, to get this permit to move on to the south side. But, you know, that's all of that's water under the bridge. We have the permit. We're fully funded for this drill campaign that's about to start in just under a week. And, you know, we have some very, very exciting targets to test. And you know, it's the kind of targets that, you know, don't come around very often in your lifetime. These are tier one targets. It's why Gold Fields is a strategic investor. It's why Rick Rule came into our last financing. And that was Rick's third investment in the company over time. So we're excited where we're at right now, Trevor.
Yeah, you did close $3 million in that financing, so some pretty good cash there to get this program underway, as you said, in a week, about a 3,000-meter drill program. Maybe before we jump into what you're targeting with this drill program, I mean, it has been a number of years, and you had some amazing drill results, you know, leading up, you know, when things were just full bore in, you know, 2020, 2021. You know, maybe we could talk about the geopolitics and how it's improved later in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But I do want to know, you know, what you know. I mean, what do you know now? I mean, what do investors need to be looking at as far as previous exploration work on Soledad?
Well, I think the history of the project is really important for the investors to understand. You know, we started with a very small land position. It was 1,100 hectares. It was an option from Condor Resources on the northernmost part of what we now call the broader expanded Soledad project. That's over 4,200 hectares. We started with that, and the history there is that I had gone to this project in 2012. When I was the general manager of exploration for MMG, which is, you know, exploring, you know, all of the Americas, North, Central, and South America for multiple commodities, and Peru was very much of interest. MMG ended up acquiring Las Bambas, and I spent the last 2 years with MMG putting the exploration program together around Las Bambas. So lots of experience in Peru. Loved the project back in 2012. It hadn't been drilled yet. What's of note on the Condor land position are these spectacular, very high-grade tourmaline breccia pipes that crop out at surface. They're very obvious features. They had had some limited drilling in the past, and you know, we felt that the project was underappreciated, but we also felt that the project was, the mineral system was much larger than that Condor land position. And so we started with that option. It was fortunate for us at the time, this is, you know, 2017, where there was an existing drill permit on that particular piece of ground, the 1100 hectares. It was a DIA type permit, which allows you 40 platforms, and there were a number of platforms that were still under unused, so we were able to start drilling right away. And you're right, I mean, some of the most spectacular mineralized breccias you'll ever see. These tourmaline breccias are absolutely spectacular, very, very high grades. And, you know, that led to some of the best drill intercepts in my career. You know, just to quote a couple, you know, 439 meters of 2.07% copper equivalent from surface, and 12 meters of 27% copper and 960 grams silver and a massive sulfide inside of one of these breccia pipes. So, you know, that was a start, but the real story and what's important for the investors to know today is that we recognize that the mineral system was much larger than that small land position. We had breccia pipes going all the way down to the valley bottom, and then multiple breccias on the south side of the valley going up to the same elevation as we cover on the north side. But so that took us down to a second option agreement to get us down to the valley bottom. They had one claim on the south side. We went over there to look at that, saw multiple breccia pipes, and a lot of those breccias were actually on Barrick's ground. And so we established a second agreement on the private family concessions. We went and talked to Barrick. Barrick was more than happy. You know, this is 2019, more than happy to consider an option agreement on their ground. And so by expanding the land position, we now cover what you know, I consider to be the entire mineral system, and that's what we think is the heat source, the porphyry target driving the entire mineral system on the Soledad project, but also the very expansive zoning, classic porphyry zoning that we see in the entire mineral district that we're in, which is about 150 square kilometers. It has a high sulfidation, epithermal, lithocap type of environment that's preserved on the south, and in multiple additional breccia pipes. So this is, you know, we're going after something that we haven't been able to test before, and testing the mega gold target, which we should talk about. We're going to be testing the high sulfidation, epithermal, lithocap called La Jolla, and then we have you know, one additional breccia pipe that we're going to test in this round, but there are numerous additional breccias to be tested in the future.
David, I'm hoping you can give me a little bit of a geology lesson, and hopefully forgive my naivete, but you mentioned tourmalina breccia pipes and regular breccia pipes. I mean, is there a difference between tourmalina and just regular breccia pipes?
Yeah, tourmaline breccia pipes. Yeah, there are. There's a company called Tourmalina, so that may be where you're getting it from, but which is the Spanish version of tourmaline. But the difference between tourmaline breccia pipes and other types of breccia pipes is that tourmaline breccia pipes are formed by a magmatic process, okay? They're not volcanic features. They didn't erupt at surface. They're not what we call diatremes, which are volcanic features, okay, which can also be very, very important ore hosting environments. Our breccias are magmatic in that they were formed by the volatile accumulation of gases in the top part of a crystallizing magma in the, you know, at a shallow depth. You know, I'm thinking, you know, somewhere between 1 to 3 kilometers below surface, and that is the critical depth at which the volatiles can accumulate in the top part of the intrusion, but they can be held in place by the lithostatic pressure of the rocks above them. But at some point, and it may be from you know, there's a triggering event, and we don't know exactly what that is. Could have been an earthquake, could have been uplifting erosion at exactly the right time when these volatiles were still, you know, in their high-pressured state, and the magma had not completely crystallized yet. There's an eruption, and it's these gases escaping the top part of this intrusion, breaking the rock above the intrusion, but importantly, not reaching the surface. And so what you've created is this incredibly permeable broken rock that has lots of void space that allows fluids to rush into it, mineralizing hydrothermal fluids that come into that rock that's very, very permeable. But the rocks surrounding that, the host rock, are very impermeable. So you have this perfect environment to move mineralized fluids with copper, gold, and silver into these permeable rocks, cool the fluids, precipitate the metals, and that's why you end up with these absolutely spectacular mineralized breccia pipes.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that. Thanks for that lesson. I could have I'll pull out one of my geology books here later this afternoon and do some more diving. So let's talk about this drill program underway here starting next week. You are targeting two big bulk tonnage targets. You mentioned the Mega Gold Copper Gold Porphyry and the La Jolla High Sulfidation Epithermal Gold Silver Zone. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned a tourmaline breccia pipe called the Estramadoiro, excuse me if I mispronounced that and botched that name. So give us a sense. Let's talk about this Mega Gold Copper Gold Porphyry. It seems like you really want to share that story because you're really excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I am. And the reason I'm excited is because, you know, when we expanded our land position, we've had full access to the full land position that we have today to do exploration. We just haven't had permission to drill on the south side of the project, mainly the Barrick concessions, until we got that permit in June of last year. That was over a 2.5 year delay to get that permit. But we've been able to do all the geochemistry, mapping, sampling, hyperspectral alteration mineral studies, multiple geophysical studies, and all of our geophysics have been designed and planned by Goldfield's chief geophysicist, a gentleman named Andrew Foley, outstanding geophysicist. And during that work is when we started really trying to understanding what the full potential of this project could deliver. And it was initially the soil geochemical survey that we did that was 4,200 soil samples covering the project from north to south, blanket soils, multi-element geochemistry, and we uncovered this huge golden soil geochemical anomaly. It's about 2.5 square kilometers. It's the threshold of the anomaly is 30 parts per billion, and it ranges up to 325 parts per billion, or 0.325 grams per ton gold, which is very strong. Within the eastern part of the gold anomaly is a very large, very strong molybdenum response in the soil geochemistry, up to 54 parts per million, which again is a very, very strong response. And that eastern part is where we see pervasive phyllic alteration overprinted by advanced argillic alteration with things like porophyllite and dickite and zunite. These are all just minerals that indicate higher temperatures, the kind of things that you would expect to see in a high-level porphyry environment, often associated with lithocap environments. So we believe that we're very, very close to the heat source that's driving the entire mineral system that we've got. But then the question becomes, well, where do you drill within this very, very large area? And that's where the geophysics comes in. And, as I mentioned, we've done multiple geophysics, ground magnetics. We've done two different types of induced polarization geophysical surveys, which are kind of classic techniques for porphyry exploration. And the inshot of all of that was we have this within the gold anomaly is a very, very strong and prominent IP chargeability response, which means it's the rocks in this area are holding the charge. You put a charge into the ground. If the ground has metallic minerals in it, sulfide minerals, it'll hold that charge and it'll release that charge that charge will dissipate when they turn the current off, and they can measure that. And that's how you map the chargeability response in rocks that you're exploring. And we have a very, very strong IP chargeability response, and it's got two different geometries. There's a vertical stock-like feature, vertical walls. It's got a diameter of about 600 meters. It's got a resistive core to the center of it, which coincides with this advanced argillic alteration. And then there's this flat-lying feature that extends away from it. And when I say strong, I mean like 40 millivolts, okay, and which is a very, very strong chargeability response. It's indicating the presence of sulfide. This flat-lying feature appears to follow stratigraphy, and it looks like maybe a lithocap type of response. And there is good evidence just across the valley on 500 meters east of our property boundary is an underground operating mine. They're mining lead, zinc, silver, and mantos are flat-lying features where the hydrothermal fluids have moved along stratigraphy. So there's evidence of, you know, that kind of control in the district. They're lead, zinc, silver. We're copper, gold, molybdenum dominant, which again is the this classic zoning in porphyry settings that you see. So those two geophysical features are really what's driving the definitive drill test that we're about to embark on for the mega gold target. We've got strong geochemistry, strong alteration, a very impressive strong IP chargeability, and that's why we're so excited. And also, the top of sulfides is only estimated to be 125 meters below surface. But to just go back to the beginning of the story, when we showed that gold geochemical map to Goldfields during their due diligence back in 2019, you know, that's what really drove them to invest in Chicana back then. They put $8 million into a private placement at a 40% premium to market. And since then, they've participated in every single financing, including the most recent one. And, you know, so that's certainly notable when you think about the due diligence that a big company like that could bring. But also, you know, having Rick Rule come into the financing and many other very notable institutional investors, I think is, you know, also adds a significant amount of validation to what we're doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I will just kind of add for people listening, there is a really nice graphic on the latest news release highlighting that chargeability information and data that David just described. So I'd just refer back to that news release. I mean, there's a lot of images and a lot of data in there that you can kind of scour through here. But David, I mean, you talked a lot about, you know, years of these different geophysical test work. Do you believe that you have de-risked these targets as much as you can ahead of this drill program?
We have, and you know, that's you know, you hit on a really important point here, is that you know, it's really important to throw everything at it that you've got, because the business is risky enough, right? You know, I don't know what the numbers are. 90% of exploration projects fail at some point, either in the first, usually in the first drill test is when projects fail. If you survive to, if you have good enough results to justify a second drill program, well, that puts you in a different category. And, you know, as you continue down that path and continue having success, you know, one of the measures of a project and how, you know, what the potential may ultimately be is how many times does it get drilled? Are the results continuing to add encouragement? And oftentimes they don't, right? You drill once, you fail. You drill twice, you test your other ideas, and it doesn't work out. But when you continue drilling, I think that's a measure of you know, certainly good projects tend to advance every time you do something. But systematic exploration is really about throwing everything you've got at it so that you can best qualify the targets and give you the best chance of success. And essentially what you're talking about is de-risking the asset as you go through your exploration.
Right. Chicana sitting at a $25 million market cap. It's far from its highs that it once was back in 2021, even probably before that here, David. Yep. But it does definitely feel like there's a resurgence. A new charge forward here with Chicana now that the geopolitics in Peru have settled down. You know, people are looking for a little bit. We've talked a lot about risk reward and a lot of beat up expiration equities the last couple of days here. And I will say Chicana is one of those ideas I had a few weeks ago. I took a position in Chicana and happy to say I'm now playing with house money. Got my money back off, so thank you for that.
Good.
But it is going to be really exciting. I wish you nothing but the best of luck and you know, it's get back on the project, drill again, and really show the market the potential of Soledad.
Yeah, well, thanks, Trevor. It's always a pleasure to tell this story, and I'm available to continue doing so. It's exciting times for this is what, you know, geologists live for is this you know, is this point in time, and it's not every day that you go out and get to test these kind of quality targets. So we're excited to bring this opportunity to our shareholders.
Yeah, well, you better be careful. I'm just going to knock on your door sometime and ask
you. You should
questions.
Do that, yeah. All right. There's always a cold
All right.
somewhere.
There you go. All right, everybody. That is your, I guess, reintroduction and update from Chicana Copper. It's going to be one to watch here in the next couple of weeks and months. They do trade on the venture with the symbol PERU. Thanks, David. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you, Trevor.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.